Please turn to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. I want to speak tonight upon the subject, the Christian on a tightrope. The Christian on a tightrope. Paul starts this section of his letter to the Ephesians, the section that begins in the verse 1 of chapter 5, with a call for us to follow God. The word followers means imitators or mimics. In fact, the word in the original is the word from which we get the English word mimic, which means to imitate. And we are to be imitators of God. We are to endeavor to follow God exactly, looking at Him and doing all those things that the Lord does. We are to do it, we are told in the verse 1 and the verse 2, as dear children. We are to do it as loving children. We are not to act out of fear, not to act in a sullen fashion, out of the dread of punishment if we do wrong, but we are to do it out of love. We are to follow our God lovingly. Oh, how many Christians are very grudging in their obedience. How many Christians follow God afar off and with slow and heavy footfall. Well, we're not to do that. We're to follow God as dear children. Do you know how they follow? You can see a father or a mother, and they are accompanied by their children. And the children are delighting in their company. They're glad to be out with mommy and daddy. And they're skipping along at their side, happy. Oh, of course, you get the child that doesn't want to be there. And they're weeping and they're howling and they're dragging their feet and kicking up a real hullabaloo. You can hardly call that particular child a dear child. Except mother might use the term, your dear bought. But that's not the meaning of the word dear. It refers to affection rather than to expense. And we are to follow God as dear children. Now the standards of God are very high. In fact, they are perfect. And therefore, the path that we must follow is very narrow and very exact. It requires us to pay particular attention to the direction that God is going in. It requires us to exercise great exactness when we're putting down our feet. We must be cautious. We must show extreme care when following God. And in the verse 15, Paul returns to this theme and urges upon the people, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the word circumspectly is a wonderful word. It is the Greek word akrobos. And it's the word from which we get acrobat or tightrope walker. How picturesque the language of the Scriptures is. And how unfortunate it is that we lose some of the picturesque aspects of the language of the Scripture when it's translated into English. What Paul is actually saying is, walk with the exactness and the carefulness of a tightrope walker. Walk with the care and the precision of the acrobat, who knows that everything depends upon his balance, upon him exercising great care as he goes through his balancing act, as he goes through his performance. How picturesque the language of the Bible is. And I think that if we could have seen behind the word circumspectly, Paul's image of the tightrope walker or the acrobat, it would have printed upon our minds a picture that we'd never forget. How easy it is to see what is required of the Christian when we have this parallel drawn. Be like the tightrope walker. Oh, it conveys immediately to us what is required of us. I was reminded of this word and its meaning recently when I visited a lady who had been a Christian for many years. And she told of when she was a young girl going to church. Her minister preached on this text. And she says, I remember him dealing with the fact that Paul was saying, walk like a tightrope walker. And I was thinking, well, that picture has been printed on your mind a long time. And here she was, well on now, in years, I think well over 70. And she still had a vivid memory of the sermon that had been preached. Now, she didn't tell me the points that the preacher made. I maybe made a mistake in not asking her that, because I'm sure he was making far better points than I will be making tonight. And I could therefore have improved upon what I intended saying, but I want us just to think about that image this evening. The Christian on a tightrope, and learn from it. First and foremost, when Paul says, walk as a tightrope walker, not as fools, but as wise, he is reminding us that we walk amidst constant danger. We're in constant danger. The tightrope walker is only one careless step away from disaster. Only one ill thought out step and he's in trouble. And Christian, so it is with you and with me. Trouble's never far away from us. We're perfectly safe on the rope. But if we take one careless step, no matter how slightly it is, to the side of the rope, we're in trouble. We're in danger. Paul says, be ye followers of God, but God's path is very narrow, and those who walk it are like tightrope walkers. You haven't much room to fool around in. You haven't much room to skip to the left hand and to the right hand. The Christian path, I tell you, friend, is very narrow and is easily strayed from. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the way. The way of God is a narrow way. The way of the world is a broad way. Great latitude is permitted in how you live in the world. Nobody will complain if you transgress in the world. Nobody will complain if you decide to break the moral code of society today. Nobody's going to say much, because the world's very broad-minded. But it's not so with the Christian. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way that leads to life. This is repeated, or should I say it was first underlined in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. And Moses, speaking to the children of Israel about the law of God, repeated God's message, God's warning. Deuteronomy chapter 5, the verse 32, "Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." Deuteronomy 5:32, you're not allowed to turn to the right hand or to the left, must keep straight on. There's no room for sightseeing. No room for turning off on the Christian path. If you do it, then like the tightrope walker, my friend, you will find yourself in danger. You will find yourself in danger. Now, the consequences of straying are very serious. For the tightrope walker to step off the tightrope, I need not underline the seriousness of that. He falls. And usually his performance is carried out at a great height in order to create interest in what he is doing. Tightrope walker performing 6 inches of the ground requires the same skill, no doubt. But it doesn't create nearly the same interest as one who's maybe 50 feet off the ground. And if he steps aside, if he strays, then he's going to seriously injure himself. And I tell you this, for a Christian to stray off a path results in serious injury. Again, Deuteronomy, the chapter 5, and now the verse 33, the verse that follows the one we just read. "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye shall prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." Now there is a clear implication there, that ye shall live. If you don't, you'll die. "That it may be well with you." If you don't, it won't be well with you. "And that you may prolong your days in the land." If you don't, your days won't be long. There is safety, there is prosperity, there is security in obeying God, in staying on the narrow way. But once you go off the narrow way, there is danger. There is death. There is a cutting off of our lives. In Israel, the death sentence in the Old Testament era followed many transgressions. In other words, the punishment for breaking God's law in many instances was the death penalty. Not just for murdering someone, but if you look into it, you will discover that many, many, many crimes were punishable by the death sentence. And I believe that was in order that the Israelite might be reminded that breaking God's law is a serious matter. It's not a serious matter today, you know, to break God's law. To break the law of the land today results in Very gentle treatment in many instances. And today it is impossible for the death sentence to be passed in this land. You can never do anything that merits death in Northern Ireland. You can blow up 100 people and they won't kill you. They won't punish you by hanging you. There's no such thing as a death sentence. But in Israel, the death sentence followed many, 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 many crimes. Many breaches of God's law. Because God wanted His people to know that breaching the law of God was a very serious matter indeed, followed by death. I want to tell you that breaking God's law is still followed by death. In 1986, you break God's law and it will bring death. Now, of course, it's not the death that takes place at the end of the hangman's rope, but it's death nevertheless. You recall what James had to say in his epistle in James chapter 1 when he gave the outline of the workings of sin. James chapter 1 verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, governments may abolish the death sentence for crimes in the land, but God's death sentence stands. If you follow sin, if you turn from God's truth, death follows. Death follows. And I want to tell you, Christian, that that goes for you and it goes for me. If we step off that tightrope, then the chances are we bring death upon ourselves. Not necessarily physical death, although, let me warn you, that has happened. And we'll look at that in a moment, but most certainly death will invade the life of the Christian that steps off the narrow way. Prayer life will die. An interest in the Bible will die. Reference to the things of God will die on their lips, and they'll speak no more of holy issues and holy matters. Purity of life will die. Testimony will die. Attendance at God's house will die. And my friend, just like a beautiful garden, blooming, fresh, fragrant, that someone took a watering can filled with poison and spread it over it. Within a day or two, death is everywhere. And the life of the child of God that steps off the tightrope of purity will soon be filled with the stench of death. I mentioned physical death. Yes, it is possible for a sinning Christian to be slain by the Lord. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the Corinthians, had to deal with many sins in that church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he speaks about the Lord's Supper and those who should partake of the Lord's Supper and how they should partake of it. He says that we should judge ourselves. Because if we did judge ourselves, then we wouldn't cause the judgment of God to follow, to fall upon us. Listen to what we read in the verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause," what cause? "Those who ate and drank at the Lord's table unworthily." Backslider, unworthy believer. They, we read, when they did that, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Many sleep. Now you know that that's not the sleep that you take in your bed. That's a reference to the death of the Christian. It's a reference to the death of the child of God. Because they had done wrong. Because they departed from God's standards. Because they erred. Sickness, weakness, and in many instances, Paul says, death. God slew them. God slew them. God forbid that we should ever sin, my friends, to such a degree that it would bring the judgment of God upon us like that. That he might draw the sword and slay us and bring us to heaven before our time. I tell you, on the tightrope, the consequences of straying are very serious indeed. We must therefore exercise great care. We must be diligent in how we live and how we conduct our affairs and how we go about our everyday duties. Paul, when he wrote to Titus, said this, and let me read from Titus 3 and 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto man." We've got to be careful of good works. Like the tightrope walker, as he walked the rope, careful where he trod, so we must be careful to maintain good works. We must be careful to positively live for God. Not enough to have a negative life, avoiding this and avoiding that and not doing this and not doing that. It is necessary for us to do that which is right, and that which is good, and that which is pure, and that which is holy. So learn then, firstly, from our text, that the Christian, like the tightrope walker, walks constantly in danger. Danger of falling. A careless move will bring trouble and disaster. Now because of that, we must prove every step we take. I don't know how familiar you are with a tightrope walker, but you can imagine what it's like. How when they step out from the platform at the end of the rope, they place their foot upon the rope and they make sure that they have their foot exactly where it should be. Not to the side, where their ankle might yield under their weight, and they're gone. But right in the center of their foot, along the length of it. And then they test their weight upon it. And so they progress along the rope. very carefully, setting down their foot, proving each step that they take. Oh, how careless we are. How careless we are. How we plunge into things without ever asking God. How every day we simply throw open the door of life and we plunge out into our everyday affairs. We make decisions. We sit down and without ever thinking about what it is involved in the decision, we plunge into it. You can never imagine a tightrope walker just without any thought or consideration, just ambling out onto the rope. You know what would happen. He would fall. No, we must prove every step that we take. We must examine the path in which we go. We must test every step before we take it. That's what Paul is referring to here in the chapter 5 of Ephesians when he says in the verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Oh, friend, have you ever thought, as you have decided on the spending of money, as you have decided on something that is going to affect your future for quite some time, if not the whole of your future, as you have taken decisions that's going to affect your family, have you ever taken time to say, Lord, is this your will? I want to prove to myself that what I'm doing is in your will, that I'm still dead center of that narrow way when I make this decision. How often we live without any thought of whether or not God approves of this, of whether or not it's the right thing. Oh, it's no wonder we end up in trouble. It's no wonder things don't work out. It's no wonder our plans go astray. In many instances, let me tell you, it's God's mercy that causes the plan to go astray, because if it went right, you'd be in even greater trouble. You'd be in even greater trouble. In 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 5 and the verse 21, Paul says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Like someone sorting good apples and bad apples. Test them. Throw away the bad and hold fast to that which is good. We've got to prove what is the right thing to do. Test it before we do it. Because we're on a tightrope, remember. You can't just carelessly put down your foot on the tightrope. You've got to take care. In Acts chapter 17, we read of the Bereans, a people who set a very good example to every future generation of believers. In Acts chapter 17 and the verse 11, we read that Paul has just come to Berea. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They were proving. They were testing. And Paul calls on us to prove all things, prove what is acceptable to God. Here's how we go about it. You search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. You don't put your dependence upon that which has not got the sanction of God's Word. You do not take one step down the road that God has not said it's all right to go down. You've got to search the Scriptures. I think that prayer also is required. In Proverbs chapter 2, it speaks about crying after wisdom, and they that cry after wisdom shall find it. And there needs to be a constant praying for the wisdom of God. There needs to be a daily asking of God to help and to undertake, because There are many times when it's just not possible to ponder a decision. Circumstances don't allow you to ponder. There are decisions that have to be taken on the spur of the moment, just time doesn't permit. And my friend, it is then that you need to have done your praying and asking of God to guide you right. Because if God's hand is not upon you at that moment, you could well take the wrong turning. You could put your foot down, not on the rope, but beside the rope, and you would be in trouble. Now, because we're on a rope here, because we're on a narrow way, we must prove every step that we take. Prove it through the Scriptures and prove it through prayer. Let's go a little further. I think that we can truly say that the Christian, like the acrobat or the tightrope walker, is in most danger when standing still. Those who perhaps have some experience of the building trade, when maybe it's necessary at times to walk a narrow plank or the ridge of a roof, will know that it's much easier to keep going. You can maintain your balance better as you keep going. It's when you stop that you start maneuvering and the danger increases. And so it is for the Christian. Oh, friend, keep going. Because when you stop, that's when you're in danger. That's when the chances of you falling to one side or the other begin to multiply greatly. Begin to multiply greatly. Ah, when Lot's wife stopped, she was in danger. And then the danger struck. She looked back. And judgment fell. She was safe as she ran on, pressed forward, looked in the direction she should be going in. But when she stopped and looked back, there was danger. When you stop going to the prayer meetings, my friend, when you stop reading the Bible in your home and getting down on your knees in your own home, when you stop, you're in danger. You can blame the stopping on whatever you like, but it's you that's in danger, and it's you that'll pay the price. David, the king of Israel, the man beloved, we read, stayed at home one day when he should have been out fighting the Lord's battles. Wonderful how it's put in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And the verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David stood. He stopped. He didn't go. And before that chapter ends, my friend, we find David the adulterer. We find David with innocent blood upon his hands. We find David in all manner of trouble, all because he stopped. Oh, my friend, press on. When you stop on the narrow way, the chances of you overbalancing and falling greatly increase. Keep moving. Keep pressing forward. That's the lesson here. Walk circumspectly. Walk as the tightrope walker. Keep moving. Keep going. Or you'll be greatly in trouble. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I don't look back, forgetting those things that are past. I press towards the mark. Do that, my friend. I challenge every member of the church, press towards the mark. Yes, you may have fallen in the past. You may have failed in the past, but all right. Ask God for mercy and get up again and forget it and press on. Press on. That's all God wants of you. Press on, making what progress you can, making what speed you can. Press on. Might I say something else? Everything the Christian does, just like the tightrope walker and the acrobat, is conducted in the full gaze of the public. That's how the tightrope walker earns his living, entertaining the crowd. If he makes a mistake, everybody sees it. And so it is with a Christian. If you make a mistake, Christian, you can't hide it. Now, you may think you have hidden it, but you can't hide it. You may think you've concealed your sin, but you can't, because eyes are seeing you, watching you. And you're up there in the spotlight, and there's nothing escapes the eye of the crowd. You, dear Christian, may think you've kept your backsliding secret, but it's seen. It's been observed. Oh, how it happens. How it happens, how God makes sure that the eye of the church somehow or other discovers the sins of his people. Somebody will see it. And somebody will report it. Oh, I know. I know the old question, because I've had to deal with discipline many times. And I believe in discipline. I believe in sin being challenged. You do wrong, friend. I don't care who you are or how close you have been to me. Let me tell you this. Let me tell every member of this church. I don't care what you have ever done, and many of you have done many things for me. If you do wrong, I'll deal with you. Just as I would expect you to deal with me. Because that's my duty. That's my duty. And if I don't deal with you, then I fall off the tightrope and join you down below. No, let me tell you, I would be doing my duty, do you know why? In order that you might be able to get back up onto the rope and continue on. That's what discipline in the church is for. Discipline in the church is not to kick people out. Discipline in the church is in order to correct the sin and get the person back on their feet again. That's what discipline's for. Ignoring the sin and pretending it never happens doesn't get people back on their feet. It only encourages them to go on in their sin. You can't secretly sin. You can't hope to get away with it. You'll be seen. Because you see, in the crowd, there are those who are hoping you'll fall. I mean, that's why the crowd came in the first place. I mean, what entertainment is there in a man walking a rope? The truth of the matter is, people go in order that they might fall off the rope. And if he does fall off the rope, they want to see it. They want to see him falling on his head. That's the entertainment. They want to see him taking risks. They want to see if he'll slip. And the world watches you, my friend, hoping that you'll fall. And if you fall, it'll shout and it'll talk and it'll rejoice and it'll be glad. Remember, like the tightrope walker, you're up there, full gaze of the world, you young folk at school, they're all watching you. Out there in the business world, they're all watching you. Mother in the shop, they're watching you. As you walk the street, they're watching you. No matter what you do, they're watching you. How your children behave, they're watching you. They're watching you. They notice it. They hear the bad word. They see the outburst of bad temper. They hear it all, my friend. They hear it all. Just like the crowd watching for the slip of the tightrope walker. One thing finally. The Christian, like the tightrope walker, has an aid to balance. Something to help him. The old tightrope walker, the greatest of them, would always carry the pole or some other instrument or article. Might be an umbrella, but it has a purpose. It assists them to balance. It helps them retain their balance. If it's only to hold their arms out wide, it assists them in their balance. But normally they'll carry an object in their hand, and it helps them to balance. The most commonly used is the long pole. And that's the great help. That's the great help. You know, God has given us such help as that. They're threefold, combining together to provide us with the long pole by which you can balance. I'll tell you this. I'll give you a test. You just go and get yourself a long pole or a long piece of wood and get it in your hand. And I don't ask you to get up on a rope 50 foot high. Just some, even a straight line. Some of you couldn't even walk a straight line. So just try walking a straight line. And you'll discover with that in your hand, it's dead easy to balance. It's very easy to balance. It is indeed. It helps. It's a great assistance. With a long pole, you see, it'll not overbalance so easy. If you have a big, long length of pole, it takes you a while to get it to tip that way and a while to tip that way so that you can dance along there on the rope and no trouble. Now, Granny, don't be trying it just without a wee bit of practice on something a little lower, but if you do practice, you'll discover you'll be able to do it. And when you do do it, let us all know where we want to go. Just in case you do fall, we'll want to see you fall. But God has given us a pole. And as I say, it's threefold. First of all, you have the teaching of the Bible. That'll help you to balance. That'll help you to keep upright. Remember what David said in Psalm 119? And oh, what wonderful words there are in that psalm. Psalm 119, verse 131, I have a number of references here, but rather than give you them all, let me look at this one. Psalm 119, verse 31, I think I said 131, 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. David had a good strong grip on the testimonies of God's truth. Just like the tightrope walker, he has a good strong grip on the pole. He's not sliding about in his hands. It's stuck to him. So it is with David. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Then you can run now when you're stuck to God's commandments. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. I have finished the rope. If you use the pole, you'll get to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. For therein do I delight, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. And so it goes on. David was saying here in Psalm 119, and in those verses 31 onward that I've been reading to you, David was saying, if I only can get a good strong grip on thy word, Lord, it'll help me just to run the race of life. And friend, if you get into God's word, that will keep you upright. That will keep you balanced. But there's something else. We have the example of the Lord Jesus to help us retain our balance and help us to remain upright. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. If any man would follow me, let him take up the cross. Ah, friend, I tell you, if you get in close to Christ and learn of his example, you'll never overbalance. You'll never fall. If you take his yoke upon you, if you carry his cross, you'll never fall. You'll never fall. The example of Christ, and I'll quickly come to the other aid to balance. It is, of course, the grace of God the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians, the chapter 3, in the verse 16, Paul is praying for the church. And he's saying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Ghost will help you keep your feet. He'll help you keep your balance by strengthening you in the inner man. Dizziness often accompanies illness and weakness. But when you're strengthened in the inner man, you're able to keep your balance. And with this threefold pole in your hand, you'll be able to walk that narrow way. You'll be able to be a follower of God. You'll be able to walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as the wise. Learn from the tightrope walker. That's why Paul chose that word in the Greek. He wanted the people to think about the tightrope walker and to follow the example that is to be found there. And if we do the same, we shall not fall. We shall not bring shame upon ourselves, nor upon the Church of Christ, or upon the name of the Lord Jesus.